You are listening to the Journey Church Podcast. Journey Church is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church in Kingman, Arizona. Our current location is White Cliffs Middle School, with services at 9 and 1045. For more information about Journey, check us out on the web at journeykingman.com.
We're talking about cultural issues, and what has happened is that we showed you this the other day, and this is where we were at in 1980, okay? We had all these groups come up, and the church had come down on the political line, and kind of all pointed to the government, and the government was kind of, okay, where's God in all this? And the church answered to God. That was 1980. This is now. The same groups are here, except the church is gone now because we were no good at we're no good at being political, guys. That's a fact. Why? Because we were never made to be political. The church of Pergamos, I believe it is, the third church of the seven churches of the book of Revelation, is called, that name Pergamos means mixed marriage. And it's when Constantine claimed that Christianity was the state religion in 313 A.D., and the religion and the church and politics came together then. And that started what we know as the Dark Ages. That's good. But we're not good at that. Then the church should never be. So this is where we are now. Now, of course, we have to hit some other areas. And here it is, really. You've got the government that is controlling the communities. Okay, family, labor, free time, academics, financial institutions. The government is not answering to God. And God tells the church what to do. But the problem is that the church has gotten to the habit of making another arrow there and saying, guess what, God, we're going to make you in our image. And so it's the idea that God will do what we want. There's times that, I've heard people do this, and it's not, it's stupid, but they will be asking God to do something, and then they will demand that God does it. Do you know who you're talking to? And so the church wants to make God, and you hear that when you hear words like, you hear people say, well, God is going to judge that or this or that, and then you'll hear other people say, oh, God wouldn't do that. Well, he wiped out a whole nation. He wiped out a whole earth before. We forget that God has justice. And so when we look at our culture and we see these things, we begin to look at these things, especially free time, and we begin to look at these things and we say, how does that correlate to the church, which is below the line? And what we happen to see is we happen to see people doing things and putting church down below there in all of our lives. And God has given us the freedom to do it, so we take our free time, instead of using it for church, we use it for other things. Now, I will tell you, parents, and I'm going to get on you a little bit here, and Scott Snay told me to, so blame him. Now, what happens is that you come up with soccer and baseball and all this stuff, and now they're playing on Sundays, right? Okay, now, if you allow that, and that happens, and you make that decision on it. This is not a Dale Sharp thing. You make that decision on it. But when your child gets to be about 15, and they tell you, I don't want to go to church, I want to go to the mall, don't you stop them. You got no clout there. It's like that kid, I don't know if I told you this, fine kid, a great, 28 years old, a pastor, and everything like that. And somebody came up to him and said, how did you turn out so good? And he said, I had a drug problem. My parents drug me to church on Sunday. They drug me to church on Wednesday. It's what we need. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. And when we look at our culture is hooked. Oh, we have alcohol, we have drugs, all kinds of stuff. But you know what we're really hooked on? Entertainment. Entertainment. We used to be a culture that was hooked on focus. We had a Judeo-Christian society, and we focused on our jobs, doing the right things, being honest, working hard. Now it's the entertainment that we focus on. It's one of the changes in our society. It's one of the cultural changes. And our culture is at the crossroads of selling our souls for the next good time. When it comes to money, people will spend from 5.4 to 15%, most often around 10%. Around 10% of your money goes for entertainment. Sound familiar? When I get new couples to come in, they're going to get married, I tell them to do this. Save 10%, tithe 10%, live on 80%, and you'll never have a money problem. They don't listen to me, you know, but they could take the 10%. They're going to put it on pleasure. Time, hours per day, seeking or doing entertainment. For men, 5.57. For women, 4.82. Per day. That's double a tithe of your time. You know, it's the year 2013. And you know it is because you have a list of 15 phone numbers to reach your family of three. You text your son to let him know it's time to eat. Your daughter sells Girl Scout cookies via her website. You chat several times with a stranger in South Africa, but you haven't spoke to your neighbor in a year. Your grandmother asked that you send her a JPEG file of your newborn so she can create a screensaver. I hate this one. You buy a computer and 6 months later it's out of date and now sells for half the price you paid. Is that, that's true. I hate that. Yeah, I say just steal it. No, not really. Oh, this one, I do this all the time. I do this all the time. Leaving your house without your cell phone causes you to panic and you have to go back and get it. Here's another one. This is one that bugs me. Using real money instead of credit or debit to make a purchase is a hassle and it takes time to plan it out. You got to do that because you got to go to the machine. You know, that's my grandson, James. He always says that. He'll ask for something. I say, I got no money. He says, no problem. Let's go to the machine. He thinks that's where money comes from. And for some of you, okay, for me too, what does cleaning out your dining room mean? You know, cleaning up the dining room. What was that? Daddy's coming home today. The house will be spotless when she gets there. Okay? It hasn't been the whole time, but don't worry about that. It will be when she gets there. But cleaning up the dining room means getting the fast food bags out of the back seat of your car. See, I want to make sure I'm right on this thing. The issue is a changing culture that we have. And you and I, it's not, I think we ought to fight against it. I think we ought to take and to make ourselves known, and I don't think Christians have. Oh, I think we have a little bit, but we haven't made it known the way we should. Remember, we were talking last week about drawing lines. Have we drawn the lines? I mean, I don't want to be mean and cantankerous and all agitated and all that stuff. I don't want to be that. I want the line drawn to where we are Christians and we don't do these things and we are against these things because the Bible says we're to be, not to play with it. You see, that's why, and it's kind of weird because that's why the world looks at us and says, you guys really don't walk the talk. You dabble in things. And so when we dabble in those things, we feel bad about it, don't we? What the world does, they don't dabble in the things. They embrace the things, and they say it's not sin. So they don't worry about it. But God says it is. Jeffrey Hunter argues that the culture is shaped mostly by institutions and have great symbolic capital, including universities such as Harvard, Yale, Newspapers like the New York Times, popular Christian books may sell millions of copies, but they do not have the symbolic capital or cultural influence to get a Pulitzer Prize winner. And we've got to start looking at that. We need Christians to be present in the institutions, professors, to be professors, journalists, and artists. You know, what do we do? You know, we need Christian parents and teachers to cast a vision of Christian cultural engagement for children and students. And what I mean by that is not every child needs to be a pastor. They need to be teachers, engineers. We need to invade those areas with our Christianity. We need to put the yeast back in the bread. And too many times we've walked away from that. We worry about preserving our orthodox theology, and it is important. But we need to worry about a changing secular culture that is killing America. We will follow. Well, financially, the world will follow us. Socially, we will follow Europe. Watch this, guys. This is not good. And you know, I can't do much about the voting patterns of California. Even if Californians vote for something, what happens? Their courts turn it over and say, nope, that's not real. Don't like it. But you know what? I can change the culture at my dinner table. And I can change the culture in my family. When Mother Teresa received the Nobel Peace Prize, she was asked, what can we do to promote world peace? I don't know what idiot journalists ask her that. Like she's going to go, well, you know, move the queen to pawn 4. And that's going to change everything. She was asked this, and it's great. And this is what she said. She said, go home and love your family. Evangelicals can certainly participate in politics, but we should remember that politics tend to simply reflect the culture. If you don't like our politics, that's where our culture is, guys. So let's see, and here's the thing. I've been talking about the culture. Let's see if our culture matches the Bible. By the way, it does. I'm going to tell you up front. Okay? But not in the best way. Let's take a look at it. Here are 18 ways, and let's take a look and see if they do. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Jim, I got this address right, wherever you're at. Last week I put Galatians 6, 22 and 23. It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Okay, I knew that. It was a test. Okay, thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. But mark this, watch. There will be terrible times when? In the last days. Okay? Now, the Bible has four places it actually talks about last days and what's going to happen. Okay? This is one of them. Now, watch this. People will be lovers of themselves. Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that a good thing? Not when you become more important than God. And that's what this means. Okay? So, people will be lovers of themselves. Two, lovers of money. I will let you, someday we will tear these verses completely apart, and I will show you what's all going on in these verses. But today I just want to show these to you, just so you can kind of make up your mind. Lovers of money, boastful, proud. Okay, I missed one. Boastful, proud, abusive. Watch this. Kids, high school, junior high, raise your hands if you're here. Raise your hands. Okay? Yeah. Disobedient to parents. And what that means is this. It means that there will be an outrage against parents, not just normal. Normally, this can happen. This is going to be an outrage, okay? Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. I want to stop on not lovers of the good. The not lovers of good. Have we seen that change in our culture? I know it's bad. What it goes to, and let's go back. I want to go back just 25 years ago, okay? 25 years ago, gay was bad, church was good. Today, church is bad, gay is good. What happened? Now, I know some of you have, in fact, all of us have had to deal with that problem within our families or somebody we know. But what does the Bible say on it? Calls it wrong. And what are we here today? Being promoted as good. That's one of the areas. Not lovers of good, not trying to find good. Treacherous, rash, conceited. Oh, look at this one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When I look at this, I go, my gosh, we are in the last days. Now, I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or 100 years from now, but we have entered those days. The door has been opened. In fact, the door was kicked open. The nations will surround Israel. They will hate Israel. That's already happening. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Saying, oh, look at us. Look how religious we are. But there really is no God. It's interesting. I looked at this and I thought, what does that remind me of? And I was talking with Dave yesterday, and it really comes out to this type of thing. It's the seventh church in the book of Revelation. Laodicea. God has nothing good to say about it. In fact, that's the one where he says, I wish you were hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. And because of this, you make me sick. We didn't say you make me sick. He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. The church at Laodicea had a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. That word Laodicea means rule of the people. Democracy was never meant to be in a church, guys. Never meant to be there. What do we want in a church? Theocracy. God-led. And that's what he's telling us there in that area there. Now look at this. These people that have a form of godliness but deny his power have nothing to do with them. When is that supposed to happen that we're having nothing to do? In the last days. So as this thing goes, as we start getting into this thing, we have nothing to do with them. There may be a day of separation, but right now you and I are to reach them for Christ. The problem is that our time that we come up to reach somebody for Christ, we have this thing that says, it's got to be about me. We have this pleasure explosion, and it's overtaken the United States, that it is growing for entertainment at the rate of $6 billion a year. Thrills and chills available on demand. We're supposed to be reaching for people for Christ and doing things, and we're entertaining ourselves. $5 billion in a single year spent on video games. I'm not saying that all of this is bad. I'm saying it's out of balance. We are a generation that's addicted to entertainment. The problem is that this generation addicted to pleasure more than the things of God. It's out of balance. And that puts us in the matrix. The matrix. Don't watch Matrix 2 and 3. They're garbage. Matrix 1. Okay? Matrix 1. Take the blue pill, take the red pill. You're in the matrix. And you know what? We choose something because we think it's good. And I think the first Matrix, that guy's eating a steak. Those of you who've seen it, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. But this guy's eating a steak and he goes, I know the steak isn't real, but it sure tastes good. And that's where we're at. We will pick things that we think are good for us. There's no focus. entertainment versus focus, the spending habits of the American public make it quite evident that token attendance to religious duties is in no way allowed to interfere with most people's pleasure. Do we miss church? Yeah, once in a while. Do we go to church? Yeah, if nothing else comes up. And that's the point. Have you ever had to work for an entertainment company on Sunday? What about sports? And you know, when you start to do this, let me tell you what, you come to Satan's triangle. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So if you destroy the foundation of good biblical teaching, what can you do? That's what it's talking about. Okay, I want to go to this. Here's Satan's triangle. You have you here, Sunday event. Well, you do one Sunday event, okay? But as you do more Sunday events, whose world are you playing in? You go right up the ladder. And one Sunday event turns into two, and it goes on and on, guys. And I can't impress upon you how important it is to be in church and learning God's Word. I can't impress upon you how important it is to be in a Bible study learning God's Word. It changes your life. Once in a while, somebody will come up, and they'll use it about another church or about me, and they'll come and go, Pastor, you know, I just haven't been getting fed. I love it when Christians say that. It's really stupid. It is, because let me give it to you, okay? The Bible says what? My word will not return void or empty. This is cool. Jeremy, where are you at? Oh, he's back there. He said, amen, I lost it. Anyway, God says my word will not return to me void. And so they'll say, you know, Pastor, I haven't been getting fed. And I'll go, oh, gosh, I'm really sorry. And we'll continue to talk. And I'll say, well, do I or the other preacher? I'll say, do they preach the word of God? Oh, yeah, they preach the word of God. Then I break out that verse. And I go, you're right, you haven't been getting fed because you're not eating. And that's the issue. And so what happens is that if we're not eating because we're off at this or that, what happens? Because the entertainment issue. I like this story. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed his face towards the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, that you might rise up early and go." Okay? And they said, okay, well, but we're going to spend the night in Elm Square. And he goes, no, don't, please. I'll bake you dinner and you can sleep here. So he does that. Verse 4. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out that we may know them carnally." Translation? The wild thing. They want to have sex with them. Okay? Verse 6. So Lot went out through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not be so wicked. See now, I have two daughters who have not known men. Please let me bring them out to you." Lot's quite the father, by the way. "Hey, I got two virgin daughters. Take them. And you may do them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." For safety, they're under the shadow of my roof. The men that are there say, "Stand back." And then they said, "This one came in to stay here." And about Lot, one of the guys says, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. The angels did. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they would become weary of trying to find the door. Now, as you read on, you find out that they wandered in the dark trying to find those men. They thought were men, were angels. to have sex with them. Now, I don't know about you, okay? But guys, listen to me, okay? And not that you would go into a bar, but you go into a bar and you walk up to a girl and you go, "Hey, babe, can I buy you a drink?" And she blinds you, it's time to call a cab. It's over with. But it was so wicked, their entertainment factor was so wicked that they would do anything. We've become more interested in entertainment than we have focus. And I keep wondering, when will Christian pastors say, enough is enough? We've had too many things. We idolize and memorialize Whitney Houston because she could sing. Her personal life was garbage and eventually cost her life. Charlie Sheen, he's 46. Oh, that's a cool dude. It's all over the news. He's a substance abuser, adulterer, sexually promiscuous, and obnoxious. But he's funny. So let's watch his movies. Let's pay money for the entertainment value. I'm not saying entertainment's wrong. I'm saying let's get it under control, guys. Lindsay Lohan. Oh, never mind. Unreal. Who's this man? Well, he's James E. Groves III. You guys don't know him. See, we never hear about these guys. We only hear about the other people and go, "Oh, wow, look what's going on. I'll pay money to see that." James Groves is a hero. He died March 16, 2013 in Afghanistan. We never heard that, did we? You know why? That's not entertaining. And there's such a high cost of excess. There's a high cost in excess for our finances. Most of you that have money problems, and I don't know who you are, but most of you have money problems today, and you go, "I can't tithe or this or that." Let me tell you what. You can't afford not to tithe, because what got you into the issue was the fact that if you go back and look at your things and see how much you spend on entertainment, the focus is wrong. Again, it's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing. But if it's out of balance and all we're doing is chasing the next high that we can get by having fun, guys, we messed up. The Bible says, as we just read, that if you search for entertainment all the time, you will be hurting financially. It will cost you with relationships with others. And America has become lovers of itself and not others. It's all about what's for me. It hurts our walk with God. And what we need to be, guys, is a conduit, not a cauldron. Take time to focus. Be a conduit and give your life and give your finances and give it away instead of being a cauldron where everything stays there. That's the key to happiness. What will we do? Our culture is an end times culture. Next week we've got John Vodder, but in 2 weeks we're going to attack this issue. Now, you all want to be here for next week with John Vodder because he's going to give you all an update. Actually, he wrote an email this week and said, "It's Mother's Day. Do you want me to preach on women?" I sent it back and said, "No, I want the women to stay in our church." So he'll be preaching on women this next week. Get the right focus, guys. Watch what you do. Have fun, make it entertainment, but watch the focus. We, as Americans, tend to get way out in this area. Father, we thank you again for your word that we can look at and see that there's those things where there's an end time. We can look at it and see that there were people in the Bible that wanted to do wicked because they were so used to doing wicked, it became normal to them. Oh, Father, help us. Help us that we might be balanced in our lives. And in the forefront is Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church Podcast. For more information about Journey Church, check us out on the web at journeykingman.com.